So today's topic is using the cage system not for soloing, but for embellishing instrumental sections where you don't want to just continue strumming. This is assuming that you're playing music that you're like singing a melody, or you're with a singer, and then, you know, what do you do in the instrumental breaks that gives you variety without just strumming the same chords, and not just do, it's in between doing a guitar solo and doing chords. You know, we tend to think of chords, you know, and then guitar solo like two separate complete things, but that's not necessarily the case. There's hundreds of ways where you can cross the bridge between lead and rhythm playing, you know. The tune we happen to be doing is Have You Ever Seen the Rain, and we're just on the verse. It's four bars of C, right, and then two bars of G, etc. So first thing you can do is play the chords. This doesn't have to do with the fretboard so much as the right hand. You could just change the way you play the song. So the verse itself is da, 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 right, you're just strumming, 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 and then G, da, 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 right? So the beat is 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 1, 2, and 3. So you could, one thing you could do is just taking the pick and playing eighth notes in rather haphazard manner, I might add. So one way is just to let the pick fall, you know, 1 and 2 and 3. How about just 1 and 2 and, you know, yeah. And so, and then the rest of the bar, just make it up like 1 and 2 and, or I'm sorry, 1, 2, and 3, 4, 1, 2. You can do that every bar. So, yeah, you could. Something like that, just make it up. You know. Let's start on the fifth string, because that's what we do on C. Like 2, 3, go. Second half of the verse is also the same thing, four bars of C and two bars of G. Mm-hmm. So, correction on that. The form of the verse is four C's, two G's, two C's. So 4, 2, and 2. Mm-hmm. And then again, it goes four C's, two G's, and two C's. So you could actually just, you know, look from here to here and just keep going around, you know, from the beginning of the verse to the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, eighth bar, which is C, and then just go back. That's your form. You know? And so, you know, rather than just be haphazard in the, you could do a specific rhythm like 1 and 2 and da, 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 da. For example, like da 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 da, all downs on string 5, 4, 3, 2. And then all ups on strings 1, 2, and 3. And then that sets you up for another bar. Yeah, and I'm giving a little pause like, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, and then switch to G, and now you're on string 6. You know. That would be cool, right? And it kind of fills out the the space a little more because the notes are now staggered. You're not hitting them all at once with a strum, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of right hand techniques. We haven't even gotten into different voicings and things based on the case system, but that's a big thing right there, you know. And different patterns, make them up rhythmically. You get one we did was one and two and four, one and two and four and one and two and four and. But there's a million of them. Let me just give you a couple of ideas. One and two and one and two and. That one's easier because there's less notes. Mm-hmm. About one and two. And it sounds good. I'm doing strings 4, 5, 4, 3, 5, then 4, 3, then 2, 3, 4. So, and that one's easy because it takes you right back to where you started. And then you could do it on G. Do that, or you could skip a. He just did, which is a good one. You did 5, 6, 5, 4, 3, 4, 5. It's easier to play than it is to say. Or you could skip a string and do the same pattern as on C, but now 6th string instead of 5th string. It'll go 6, 4, 6, 4, 3, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. So that's something to get into. You know, give yourself, I mean, this is just an example, this tune, but any tune in 4-4 or any tone, you can arpeggiate versus strum. Hmm. You know, how do you arpeggiate? You could either do down, strict down and up arpeggiation, which is harder, or you can do all down and all up based on the rhythm that you want to do, you know, like I just demonstrated.
So when you're doing that, when you're, say, doing a bunch of notes, are you doing, trying to keep it a smooth movement, like, as opposed to?
Yes, I'm doing a smooth movement. As soon as I pick a note, I rest right on the next string anyway. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of guitarists, especially beginners, I haven't been watching how you usually do it, but when I pick any note, I rest on the next string with the pick. Okay. It's just so I know where I am. And the pick is not floating in midair. As some beginners pick away from the strings.
I think that's what I was doing with.
Oh yeah, and then for arpeggios, it's way harder to do that, right? Just fall right into the next. It's almost like you're falling, but it's a controlled. It's a controlled fall. Yeah. So I'm good. I'm glad you brought that up. All right, so that's one idea. Another idea is to add embellishments to the chord with whatever fingers left over. In this case, very common in folk, you know, folk style guitar. I'm broadly calling this a folk song. I mean, it's John Fogerty, it's Creedence Clearwater Revival. So technically it falls into the classic rock, you know, but strumming it on just acoustic guitar, you know, anything can sound like a folk song. And I'm using that term broadly. So whether you like folk music or not, it's immaterial for what we're talking about. You can take whatever finger's left over. In this case, we only got one finger from a C chord, but that's a lot. We can add a lot of stuff there. Now, without going into too much music theory, on the upper strings, the first finger is playing the root of the chord. That's also a C. On the second string, first fret, finger on the set is playing the second string first fret. So play that note. Play second string first fret. Yeah, that's do in the chord. Like do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Right there. Which means that up a whole step is re. Our old friend re. So you could add that to a C chord. And so do a. And that's called the C add 9. Yeah. I mean, for the purposes of this, you can just strum that chord. We can do arpeggiation later, but you don't have to do both of them. It's just the took a root, the root up a whole step. Another idea is to take the root down a half step, which is the seventh of the scale. It's called C major 7. Yeah. So immediately, even though it doesn't say that you could play C major 7 or C add 9, I know my music theory, and those are notes in the C scale, and I'm on a C chord, so why not? So how would it sound in this case? You know, it could be like... and then I arpeggiate. I know I did some other stuff there, which I'll also demonstrate as well. I took finger two, yeah, which is normally on the third, fourth string, and I moved it to the third string. Yeah, and that's A, which is the sixth note in the scale. You got do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. It's la, for those of you who prefer solfege. And now I just strung. Yeah, now you got it right there. You put it on, you take it off, you put it on the third, and you take it off. The notes, you know, on those frets would be like 6, 5, 3, 2. So again, you're just making the second finger go on the on the third string and then open, and then on the fourth string and then open. Every single one of those is a different chord. You got... Yeah. So dig that. With all that movement... Sounds like a lot of stuff's going on.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy, but you got a lot of movement. See, piano players would never just plunk their fingers on C, E, and G and just ding, 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 ding for, you know, for two or three bars. They would never do that. They're going to move something. Or maybe multiple voices, and that's what we're doing here.
Okay.
So this is a big deal. Another option on the C chord is to take the pinky and put it on the first string, third fret. Yeah. And then that one can go on and off too. Right. So that's a lot to play around with. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you didn't arpeggiate and you just strummed it, make sense? Any questions so far about that? Because if not, I'm going to move on.
Trying to get my fingers to do that is going to be a trick.
Yeah,
especially found it's hard to move this second one.
I see, yeah.
Maybe I'm just not used to doing it.
Yeah, it's just the first time you've seen it. On the G chord, technically, you have another finger. But even if you don't use pinky, just play G... with fingers 1, 2, and 3, and then you can actually remove that top voice, the note, the finger that's playing first string, third fret can come off, and that can be open first string, and that's a G6, yeah, which is in the scale, because it's do, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, it's a la, or a 6, and then, so there's those two notes. You could also take the third finger and put it on the second string, which is a fifth. Let's suppose you only picked up to that point, you didn't pick. Yeah, you could pick it, but then this finger could also lift off. So now you got all under a G chord. Do it with the first finger on the third string, second fret, even though the third finger is usually playing fifth string second fret, you could just temporarily leave that for a minute and go right to third string second fret. It's like a G add 9 type sound. And you could also do it on the fourth string too, second fret and then open. So that's a lot to fiddle with. Third finger going on and off on the top two strings, and the first finger going on and off on the second fret on the middle two strings.
Yeah.
That's a lot of variations. So
one of the things that...
And if you play G with fingers 2, 3, and 4 naturally, then but by all means just take pinky and make those variations for the third finger. Or you could leave 2, 3, and 4 on and do the middle string variations with the first finger. I don't personally like that, but what I'm saying is you can easily just use second and fourth yeah. fingers to make those embellishments instead.
Yeah, I don't know why I learned to.
A lot
like
of people
that.
Do,
yeah.
And there's certainly nothing wrong with it.
And then also another one I've seen is
and
top
have,
two string.
If you have the top two there, then either one can do it. But imagine being able to play embellishments like this over the whole guitar neck. So let me just demonstrate what is about to happen. Well, I should not demonstrate what's about to happen, but why is it about to happen? Because this audio is assuming that you know the cage system, but how does it apply to chords and things? So first, we talked about you could vary up the right hand by arpeggiating or doing something different than strumming. Second, we added embellishment notes from the neighboring scale tones. How do you figure where those are? Well, if you know your music theory, the chords are 1, 3, 5, 1, 3, and 5. Mm-hmm. So you can always take 1 up a whole step to 2 or down a half step to 7. You can always take 5 up a whole step to 6 or down to 4, which would be like a sus. We didn't talk about that yet. And you can always take the third down a whole step to 2. So you got 2s and 6s mm-hmm. and maybe a 7. You know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but what's going to happen is not only are you going to be able to do that in open position, you're going to be able to do that all over the neck. Just demonstrate how does it sound. How would it sound in this case? Again, the song. Let me just get back to it. Shining down the water. And then here's my little instrumental break. Playing on those two chords in that sequence, you were able to hear the song under it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a bit of variation, right?
Yep.
Well, what the heck is all? It looks quite complicated. You might think it would take you months or something to learn all that, and it may. But the system is not hard that underlies it, because we just did two shapes, and whether those shapes are open, we did the C shape and the G shape. Whether those two shapes are open or they're fretted makes no difference. All right. So rather than show you, attempt to show you all 5 shapes,
mm-hmm.
let's just go to, let's say, 5th fret, and we'll do a C chord in the G shape. Yeah. So let's hear that. All right. Good. So we got our C chord in the G shape. Now remember, when we did the open G chord, we had embellishments on the top 3 strings, which is generally the embellishments kind of stick out. They ring. Why am I concentrating on the top 3 strings? They kind of ring out more than the lower strings.
Mm-hmm.
No. And so you might not be able to do the whole chord with the bar and embellish at the same time. So let's just concentrate on the top 3 strings only.
Yeah.
So with your first finger, you don't even need to bar all 6. You could just bar from 4 to 1 and have pinky play the 8th fret. So just for the purposes of the audio, his first finger is on string 4, 3, and 2, fret 5. And his pinky is on string 1, fret 8. Okay? Now, if you remember, in the G shape, we had embellishments like this. on the top string, I can lift off pinky back and forth, and there's four different variations. Yep. And then we had two embellishments on the middle two strings, two frets above the open. When it was in the G shape, it was two frets above the open. So here it would be on fret 7. Yep, you're on it. You're onto it. And the fourth string. So the third and fourth string. So you can take pinky off and do third finger, seventh fret, third string, and then off again, or a fourth string, seventh fret, and off again. Good. Yeah. And when you strum, you don't even have to strum more than two strings. I mean, two strings implies a chord, you know, yeah. Right? So let's do it sequentially rather than me just kind of be all over the place. We're gonna only do strings 4 and 3. We got two notes from the G shape, and they're like this, both on the fifth fret. So automatically, you got four variations. You got this. You got fourth string up a whole step. Yeah, you got, three variations, third string up both. So there's three variations. I suppose you could do both. Both. So there's your four variations. So automatically, just on two strings, you got, right? So, you know, so, and then you get to the guitar solo, and you go right here. Sounds like a great solo so far. I mean, it's nothing fancy, but now you see the logic and the beauty of the cage system, how it relates to chords underneath it. We're going to continue with the pinky embellishments. And then, I guess if we were to do strings 3 and 2 only, you got those two guys. You got these two. And you got these two. Next string for that pinky. Second string for the pinky. Yep, so that's three variations. You got this, this, and this. Not the first string yet. I'm just doing the strings 2 and 3 so far. You got frets 5 and 5. You got frets 7 and 5. 7 and 5, not 8 and 5. Take finger 3 and put it. Yeah, 7 and 3. I mean 7 and 5, and then you got 5 and 8, and there's one other variation, which is 7 and 8. Yeah. Now, how did I know all? One thing you may be saying to in your back of your mind is, but I haven't learned the major scale, so how am I going to know where all these are? But you know your major pentatonic scale. Mm-hmm. You've done. So let me just. This doesn't have to be a crazy theory lesson. When you're in A minor pentatonic at the fifth fret, everybody knows this scale. That's the same thing as C major, as you know.
Right. Yeah.
And so all these notes, see how they all fall with your chord? Play each one of them. But the only difference between playing the solo is that now you're going to ring other strings around with it. There you go. That's the beauty of it. That's how this all connects. The cage system, it shows you how the chords and the scales all connect. Mm-hmm. Is this cool so far? All right, good. You're with me, right? So, again, you're going to have to play around with these things.
Yeah.
But I already demonstrated. I demonstrated on two strings. Now let me demonstrate on four strings. So with all the variations. And now I'm ready for the G chord. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to that right now. We did the C shape earlier. And now we're going to... Unfortunately, the C shape is not in the exact same position as where we just were for the C chord G shape, but it's only a whole step above, so it's not far. So again, to repeat what we're doing, we're in the 7th fret area for the C shape key of G. When you do the C shape, you don't finger one, you don't have to bar. You could just play the middle four strings and therefore just play the third string only. That's how I do it. It makes it a little easier. People don't really like this chord too much. I don't play the top string or the lowest string. I just play the middle four strings. So if you want to get ambitious, you could bar with finger one, you could bar the top string as well, but even that's not necessary.
Yeah.
You already got that note in the chord. Alright, but so let's just take the
middle four. But I mean, you
know,
even like when we're doing open chords.
Oh, even open chords?
I always...
Yeah, I don't know why people don't like C so much.
I find the C chord to be very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't know why. I've heard that before. I actually don't remember that from my childhood. Like, I don't remember C being a pain in the neck. I certainly remember F being a pain in the neck. But other people have told me that. I don't know why that is. So
actually,
you're not alone.
I find F much more comfortable than C.
You do a bar chord, right? Do you do the mini F chord?
No, I really...
Okay. All right.
I mean, when I would, you know, I was sort of...
When we do the embellishments on the C shape key of G, let's review what we had in open position. We had, the very first thing we did was take the root, the upper root, which is on the second string, 8th fret. And we took that up a whole step. Now, how in the world could you do that when all your other fingers are, you know, tied down?
Yeah.
Let's just play the top, not even the top three strings, the strings 4, 3, and 2. So let go of pinky, and use that pinky to go up a whole step on the root. Just a whole, yeah, good, good. And you can, on and off, yep. Good. Good. Another thing we did on the C shape was we took the third string and we went up a whole step from where that is. So it would be, with pinky, you're going to do fret 9, string 3. And then off again. Yeah. So you got couple of variations on that. So I've made this sheet that is meant to help you know where the embellishments are for at least the 3s, 2s, and 6s. I didn't do the 4s. That's a whole other story. Suspendeds for now. I wanted to keep it within the major pentatonic scale. The major pentatonic scale is 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. I don't know if you knew that, but if not, you should memorize that. You know, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6.
Oh, major, yeah.
The major, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, because these are based off major chords. So, if you look at, right now we're doing the C shape. It doesn't matter the key. We just happen to be in the key of G. So, let's go back to 7th fret area, where the pinky is on the 10th fret, 5th string, and you make a G chord with the C shape. Alright, and if you look at the diagram, it has notes that are in parentheses and not in parentheses. The ones that are not in parentheses are the ones that literally the chord is. And the chord is always a 1, 3, 5. So you're always going to have 1s, 3s, and 5s being not in parentheses. You know, that's your actual chord. Right? The notes in parentheses are the ones you can embellish. Now again, we talked about if you're going to get a 2 here at the second string, you got to take one string away. So we're only doing the middle three strings. Rather than write you a huge collection of diagrams like that would have like 3, 5, and 2 on one diagram, then the next diagram and it would all be disconnected.
Yeah.
I like you to see it all at once. So you could do that, or another variation we did was 3, 6, and 1. So the first variation was 3, 5, and 2, which is what you're playing now. Another variation is 3, 6, and 1, again on strings 4, 3, and 2. Down one fret with pinky. No, I mean not one string, but right underneath 3. Same fret as 3, according to this.
Oh, yeah.
On string 3, string 3, you're on string 2. There you go, good. Now you're playing 3-6-1. Those are the intervals to a C chord. Make sense? I'm not going to get this all right away, but those are two variations. And then what about on the top three strings? Let's play 5-1-3 on the top three strings. You could do 5-2-3. That's very pretty. You could do 5-1-5 with pinky going on the top string. Yeah, what else could you do? You could do, I guess that's it for those. You know, just do all three embellishments. Yeah, make sense? So, you get, this
what
is...
What about those, 3-1-6?
Did you do 3-1-6? Yep, we missed that. Yep, I missed it. Well, good job getting it. In fact, now that you're going, seeing things parallel, well, I'll let you do 3-1-6 first. From top to bottom. Sounds like an E minor. You know, E minor and G are related, now you know why. That's a little E minor triad.
Oh.
That's too much information right now. For that matter, you could do 6-2-5. You know? Do I play that if I'm playing G? Absolutely. Play that and I'm the bass player. Ready? 3-4. Sounds great, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all over the place. So I'm going to leave it off here. Don't try and memorize all the shapes at once. Only do C and G because that's what we did. Mm-hmm. Do it in open position first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, do it elsewhere like we did. C and G. You know, you could do it in a different key, you know. But so let's say you take any 1-5 progression, you know, like you take D and A, for example. D mm-hmm. is the 1 chord and A is the 5 chord.
Okay.
You play D in the C shape and A in the G shape. That'll be handy. Then they line right up.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually very handy. In our other example, we had the 1 chord was using the G shape and that did not line up when the 5 chord came. Mm-hmm. We had to move. But that's two ways of doing it. So think about that. Let me take D and G as in, D and A as an example. I'm looking at my diagram here. I got all these variations. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of stuff. And then you go to the A chord using the G shape and you got a lot of variations here. So let me demonstrate that. Let me do it. Alright, we were talking about doing it. You could do this if you're playing with another guitarist. Nice thing about what we're doing is you do it with just with a bass player. You could do it just with if you're having another guitarist and he or she is playing chords. You know, hopefully they'll be doing it at slightly lower volume or else your stuff won't really ring out. But even so, you'll be playing extra. Like, let's demonstrate all three ways, actually. I want you to hear this. So, first, I'm going to ask you to play D for 2 bars and A for 2 bars. All right? So, here we go. A little instrumental break, and that's all I was doing. Next way to do it, I mean, I don't think it's necessary to beat this over the head, but as long as we're on the topic, you got a bass player and a drummer, and you're suddenly, you know, let's say you're the lead singer and guitarist, and now you ain't singing, and you don't want to just go into single note leads because then the chords drop out. But doing it this way, you're doing sort of like a hybrid, like a lead fill kind of thing, melodic chordal lead fill, I guess you would call it. There's no technical word for it. Here we go. It sounds the same as with your... What I'm going to do sounds the same, but the backdrop sounds different. And you've heard... It sounds quite country. Now, of course, the other the difficulty is I'm making myself stay in one position. Of course, in real life, I could spread out however I want. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, when you're doing solo. So you're singing, you know, and then the last verse, or a middle verse, and here's your solo. Quite a bit of fill and color in there. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So only do the C and G shapes to start, and we'll come back some other day and do the rest. How does that sound?